the Yes to Life show on UK Health Radio. I'm Robin Daly, host for the show and founder of Yes to Life, the UK's integrative cancer care charity. Our aim at Yes to Life is to broaden the horizon of choice for people diagnosed with cancer through the addition of the vast range of lifestyle and complementary options that are available within integrative oncology. One of the many ways we do this is through this weekly show, now on air for 10 years, in which I showcase many of the people who are developing the territory of integrative oncology or providing direct integrative support. My guest this week is an unusual one. Bettina Tamaro is someone who, by many people's standards, has always been a bit of a wild child, but like all too many people, she's been faced with a cancer diagnosis twice, and her response has led her to look outside the box for solutions and to take an approach she now shares with others facing cancer. Bettina, great to have you as my guest on the Yes to Life show.
Well, thank you. Great for being here, and I'm thankful to be allowed to join.
So, as is usual on this show, today we're talking about cancer from a broad perspective, but I think that given your particular experience, we'll be leaning more towards the spiritual and emotional aspects and their role in regaining health and well-being. So you described yourself on your website as a passion rider and spiritual nomad, both quite unconventional and unusual labels. Would you tell us a little bit about what you mean by them?
Yes, I think besides being a human, having had cancer, having survived cancer, I believe that the part of you that is besides that, if you take the other hats off, I think it's important to figure out who you are underneath the hats. Also, I want to just say a disclaimer. I am from Denmark, so if I say something really strange, you can just raise your hand. So
to explain it. Yeah, absolutely. Yes. No problem.
Yes, passion writer, because I describe myself as that because it seems like ever since I've been very young, I have always wanted to play, to explore. I'm curious. I am kind of like a five-year-old kid, except I'm grown up. And I never really left that childish trait, although there's still a grown-up serious part of me. But I have jumped in the ocean of what I thought looked fun, looked interesting, looked exciting, without really thinking about so much the consequences of it, except the fun of it, the passion of it was higher in excitement for me than what happens if it doesn't go well.
Okay.
Does that answer the question?
The answer is part of it. I want you to say a bit more about the spiritual nomad bit.
Yes, I think to start at the beginning, not to make it a long story, my mom passed away in 99. And for some reason, I decided to, she was in an accident. So I decided just to go back and pick up her soul. I had no clue what I meant with it, but that was the beginning for me of finding out what happened. And that has started a journey of, 26 years now in the spirituality world. And I also believe that spirituality is different depending on who you are and what your belief system is about spirituality. But for me, I have been through, I have different certificates as a healer, clairvoyance, mediumship, and my newest, not newest, it's not that the other things are not interesting, but the layer that is now on top of it is I am seeming to become more and more intact with my soul, as I call it. And also, I'm a human. I'm aware of that. So I'm not all gone, but I am becoming much more aware of what the soul part of me is about. Before, I was, let's just pretend, 99% human, knowing in my mind that there was a soul 1%, not knowing what it is, what it felt like, what it was for me. But it seems like that I'm in a transition period in my life where that aspect has changed a bit.
All right. And how much do you think your cancer diagnosis played into that?
I think the best way I can describe that is to say I was more of a machine human before, and now I'm more a human. So I went from being a very mental individual, forceful, like a soldier, do a marathon, I did a marathon, do this. And I didn't really connect mind and body. And I believe there's a mind, a body, and underneath there is a soul that we're all connected to, more or less, is my belief.
And so is the diagnosis supports you in that investigation. I mean, it does for many people. That's why I'm asking. It's a real inflection point where they suddenly start asking the big questions they never asked before.
Yeah, I was in a guided meditation before I got my. I had two cancer diagnoses, one in 2001 and one in 2012. And in 2010, 2 years before I get the second diagnosis, I'm in a guided meditation. At that time, I didn't know what it was, but I saw a black type thing around the area where I 2 years later had a cancer diagnosis. I didn't know that at the time, but I thought afterwards it was pretty interesting that that was able to be shown, or whatever that was. Something was shown to me in the same area as I had my cancer lump 2 years later. And some people say that cancer is for them a gift wrapped in really uncomfortable paper. And I can now thank my diagnosis and my journey, but I also want to respect all the people, and not a shout out for their souls, but there are many people who didn't make it and who did not get over on the other side of the bridge being healed. And so I also think there's much more to this world and health than just what you eat and how much you exercise.
Absolutely. Okay, so maybe you'd now tell us a little bit about your background and what led you to go after experiences that many people would never dream of. Where did you grow up, first of all?
Yeah, I am living in Denmark. I am born and live in Denmark, and I grew up in Copenhagen. And my mother was a little bit, she was having a hard time with life. And my father was working a lot, and I was this, let's just say, chameleon who ended up figuring out how my surroundings were happy if I did this or if I did that. So I kind of transformed myself into fixing what was outside of me. And I was a bit of a troublemaker, a bit of a outside-the-box individual, made a lot of trouble in school. So it's really interesting that I actually ended up being a school teacher.
That's very ironic.
Yeah, and actually I was really good at helping the children like myself that were troublemakers or had diagnosis or autism, whatever. And that kind of continued up through my, let's say, work experiences. So then I worked with dementia, elderly people. I worked at women's shelters, worked at psychiatric facilities. And during all that, I saw these different possibilities to go to survivor program and apply for that. And for me, that was just a lot of fun, a lot of physical excitement, the fascination of how they put up the different, challenges we have to go through. I also knew beforehand that it might not be so fun, all of it. But again, it was like jumping in the ocean. I saw the dolphins, and I'm going to go for the dolphins and hope the sharks don't eat me up too much.
Right.
And that's basically what I've done with the other things I've done in life. Also, taking my children to Africa and being volunteering with lions, etc. So I've done a lot of those really kind of crazy things for some people. But I would do it any second again. Maybe some of the things I would have not done or done some more research on, because there's been times where the kids thought, "Mom, is this a good idea?" But we survived, we had fun, and we're talking about it now. But I've also made mistakes. I'm not saying it's all pink with roses.
No.
But those are the ones I highlight.
Mm. Interesting. So do you think there's any aspects of your culture that have played into this adventurous spirit?
Is there? Well, my father used to live in the UK, and I'm getting back to the Danish culture in a minute. I just wanted to share that I know this is not every UK individual that are like that, but I remember, my father has passed, but I remember every time I'm in UK, and this is just me talking, right? I feel not like scolded, but I feel like I really have to behave well and make sure I don't step out anywhere, or, you know, there's just different codes that I'm not used to. So if I'm wild in Denmark, it's even more out of the box in the UK. It is my experience.
I can believe that. So you're saying that the is not so locked down in Denmark as it is here. And I can believe that. I mean, I think the British culture has a very deep societal system, you know, of everybody stays in the right place and does the right behaviours and don't step out of it. And it's loosened up, of course, during the course of my lifetime. But I can remember when I was young just how buttoned up it was. And I think for an outsider, it would have been very noticeable, yeah.
Yeah, I think if I lived in the UK, I am not sure I would be as free as I am today. I think my journey would have been even, let's say, more inflexible for me.
Yeah. Was there anyone in your family who was kind of like your role model?
No. Well, my mother is from Finland. She moved to Denmark when she met my father, and she was a farm girl. She lived in Finland out in the woods, not in the woods, but in the farm, and didn't really have that much socializing as I have heard about her life. And she was very depressed, unfortunately, in her life, because I think she was pulled out of her habitat and had to function in a society she had a hard time with. My father, you're talking about role model, my father was very busy working a lot, and because it's not, but he always had this impeccable way of having humor in everything. Mm-hmm. So even though there's serious situations, he's taught me, I think my DNA come a little bit from his humor in everything. I think that's also a part of being a bit not showing who you are. Sometimes you can cover behind humor, but nevertheless, it can make a serious situation a little more light.
It's quite a facilitator. A bit of humor goes a long way, particularly in a tough situation.
I remember when he went, just before he passed, he wrote, I had three children, and he wrote my daughter an email, and he wrote to her, she was pregnant, and he wrote, "Dear Malia, I am probably not going to be able to see your child. I'm not buying green bananas anymore."
Yeah.
So that he was not, you know, going to be to see them ripen.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
If optimizing your health and well-being is on your to-do list, then let Revive Active, Ireland's number one super supplement brand, help you achieve that in the most convenient and comprehensive way possible. Clean, premium ingredients scientifically formulated to work in synergy to support immunity, energy, joints, heart health, sleep, emotional balance, and more. Benefit from the power, purity and positivity of our award-winning powder sachets or our therapeutic capsule range. Use code RADIO15 at reviveactive.com and save 15% off today. Super supplements for a super you.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
As you mentioned, you've had cancer twice. I wonder if you tell us broadly what happened and particularly how your response differed between the first and the second diagnosis.
All right. I had my first in 2001. I was about 35-ish. And I was living a, what I thought a very healthy life, doing the right things, exercising a lot, being all over the place. I thought at that time that was I was a doer, and not so much a beer, just being in the now person. And I had a lump, and I got it checked out, and it was lymphoma, and I was offered radiation, and I didn't even think about any other possibilities at that time. So I got my radiation and life went on. And 10 years later, 11 years, I received my second diagnosis. And at that time, I was alone with my children. And why am I saying this? I'm saying it because single mom getting a diagnosis of cancer, some people say, Bettina, you were so brave. But for me, in my mind, it was, well, you got cancer 10 years ago and you received radiation. Now you have it again. If you do it the same treatment, to me, my psyche could not handle waiting for the third time. Right. So for me, it was just like Peter Pan jumping in the ocean, knowing I'm not staying on this ship. I don't know where I'm going, what I'm doing, but I'm not doing that. And back then, it was not as, I'm not going to say easy, there was not as many possibilities as there are today.
No.
And so what I did was I Googled cancer and I found a Marcus Fried Freudenmend from, I think, Germany. And he had a DVD called Cancer is Curable Now. That was my first experience with anything that could be outside of the conventional treatments. Long story short, I decided to do everything and anything anyone told me in the holistic treatments. It was Kelly Turner, Chris Wark, it was Rashid Buttar, it was all of those people who are out here in the world now helping people. And in the beginning, I did anything anyone said. Jump on a plant, I would do that. Eat a rock, I would eat a rock. I just did everything. Until a year into it, I had my situation had not changed at all. And they offered me radiation again. And I remember my mouth was going, no. Because it's not an ease, you know, just because it's holistic or natural doesn't mean it's easy.
No.
And so at that time, what I best can describe as pulling in the reins and making my own decision, which was, okay, what am I going to do? I can't do all of this, so what am I going to do? And that led to a long period of time where I was researching the world, and I found my own seven, let's say, ways for my healing. And I believe that those were, in fact, a big help for me. I was in an interview where one person, he said, well, Bettina, you really don't know if it was the candy you were eating or your seven ways. And I said, you're right. But I know I'm clear now. Clear meaning we all have cancer, but it's just a matter of how much. But I didn't get treatment and I'm okay.
Right. Yeah, well, that is one of the kind of disadvantages of the integrative approach. You can't say, well, this did it, because it's not like that, is it? It's the sum of the parts that did it. And some of the parts might have been completely superfluous and you'll never know. But the main thing, of course, as a single experiment of one person is you want a good result. You don't want to find out you chose the wrong thing.
That's true. And yeah, and also if you... maybe it's just my belief, and I want to make sure I do a disclaimer here. It's just me. I'm not a doctor. I'm not treating anyone. This is just me, my own personal story I'm sharing with you.
Yeah, sure.
And it's difficult because when you're hearing about people who pass away from conventional treatment, it's to me, it tastes a bit like, oh, well, that individual didn't make it. I don't mean it in a light way, but it happened. The treatment didn't make that person survive. But when it's in the holistic or alternative treatment, it's like, yeah, see what happened?
Yeah.
You know, and there's either, it doesn't have to be either or, it could be both.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, I hope that kind of stuff is going to fizzle out over time. I mean, they're still trying to bolster it up as much as they can, particularly as things are moving on. The old guard is fighting back to try and discredit anything outside of conventional medicine. But it's a ridiculous thing and it's never been good for people with cancer. So, yeah, I hope that we're moving towards a more sensible conversation about integration and using the best of whatever's going to help. And, you know, that's certainly where I like to see things going.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so we speak a lot on this show about the importance of embracing the spiritual dimension of healing, not only if we want to have the greatest success, but also if we're to make the most of the opportunity that a life-size challenge like cancer presents. So you talked to yourself about how that had been the case. So I wondered if you'd talk a little bit about cancer as an opportunity, a doorway to new possibilities.
Well, I believe that when you go through something like a cancer diagnosis, then you start off at oftentimes in a chaos, in fear, et cetera. And I think you really get to know yourself better and better through this journey. There's also questions about who do you tell about your diagnosis? What does that do for you? Some people, I didn't choose to tell a lot of people about my choice to not go conventional because I felt like I was a walking sign saying, you know, I was the cancer. I was not Bettina anymore. It was about how are you doing? Oh, is it still going well? You know, so I ended up having a good card on my pocket. Not a card, it was just a word I said. Was if people asked me and I didn't feel like I could trust what they would come at me with their fear, I would just say everything is just like it's supposed to be. It's all as it's supposed to be. And you could hear they wanted to hear, you know, so I was to die yet?
Yeah.
Are you almost there? And you could see the fear in their eye. And I just decided I'm not going to tell people. I'm doing it my way and everything is as supposed to be.
Right.
I think that having a diagnosis like that, you're confronted with surroundings, with TV programs, with commercials, with different cancer communities, and if you don't take a stand and stand up for yourself, that could be a really difficult place to be, like a hurricane, like a tornado of madness.
You alluded to the fact earlier that going through cancer had kind of changed you. You'd taken the opportunity of the confrontation that cancer represents to actually find out about yourself, to find out about life some more. Could you say a bit more about that?
Yeah, there's a lot of different ways to perceive the belief system, the platforms of what happens when you get a cancer diagnosis. And I think we're not, well, I haven't been in the circles yet where there's a talk about when you get the diagnose. I know some of the people are talking a little bit about it, but what are your support system? What platform are you on? Do you have trauma in your pockets? Do you have, are you not having your social network with you? And some of the organizations are talking about you need social support. And I agree with that. And I also want to take it one layer up and talk about the connection. Do you have a connection with something? And if you don't have family, if you don't have social, or you don't feel like being with people without being ill, I mean ill in a way that you have fear you need to deal with, you can be connected to nature. You can be connected to spirit. You can be connected to your soul. So there's a lot more you can be connected to than, I was going to say, just the social part. And I believe that a lot of, have you seen the movie, what's it called, Divergent?
No, I haven't actually.
Okay. It's about well, I'm going to get shunned for not quoting it correctly, but it's about, it's about a, as I see it, a couple who ends up being not injected with whatever it is they're injecting everyone else with. And they're the only one who looks at it that way. And if they notice this couple, they're going to get killed. So in the cancer and diagnosis world, I think if you come with a flag saying, oh, I'm going the integrative or the spiritual route, you know, I'm healing myself with spirits or with only nature or crystals, it feels like you almost could be shot with people's opinions or people's belief system. And I think it could be really a good thing to share more about, as you said, about the spirituality, about the soul, about how to slow down your mind so you can listen to the body. That's a whole course by itself.
Yeah.
But I think that's really important. And also how much the mind, the thoughts, your belief system and your thoughts, how they affect your emotions, that affect the chemistry in your body. All of that is also important. But even more important than all, as I call it, ground zero, how do you start? As I said in the beginning or for a little while ago, how do you start out? What tools do you have? Do you have a husband or a wife that can help you, or a family member that can help you do juicing if that's what you want? Do you have energy for that, or are you sleeping every day? What help do you need? And then from that platform, you choose what route.
Right. So you get the basics in place, the basic support.
Yeah. Or know where you are. Notice where you are under the fear of I'm going to die, which we all, most people have when they receive a diagnosis.
Absolutely.
Like that.
Yeah.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
If you see the letters AIDA, do you immediately think of the opera by Verdi? AIDA is also an advertising acronym for those iconic Mad Men days. A is for attention, I is for interest, D is for desire, A is for action. This process is a timeless truism for making a sale. Fortunately, if your product or service is health-related, we can offer you guaranteed access to a global audience with a high interest in health, healthy lifestyle, and contemporary well-being. UKHealthRadio.com has a regular monthly audience of around 1.5 million health-conscious people. And Health Triangle, its award-winning monthly magazine, has around 20,000 paying subscribers. Find out more about both at UKHealthRadio.com. Let's all put health first.
Hey, are you tired of the irritation you get down there from pads and other bladder weakness products? Tena-sensitive care pads are the first ever bladder weakness pads enriched with a skin comfort formula. The skin-friendly layer in combination with the soft, 100% breathable materials helps protect intimate skin from irritation. And as always, you have triple protection from leaks, odor, and moisture. Gynecologist tested and dermatologically approved by the Skin Health Alliance. Look for Tena-sensitive care pads with the skin comfort formula online and in stores now.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
You work to help other people, adults and children, I think.
Yes, I'm also been joining the Annie Appleseed Global Partner Project. And I have people with diagnosis that I help with my, I call it my healing house seven or my healing ways, where we talk about everything from ground zero and then the 7 points I have, which is basically mostly like the others, but there's a few twists with my passion and my craziness and my soul work that are knitted into that.
So would you say that you're acting as a coach there then?
Yeah, you can say, you can call it like a health coach, yeah. But it's only a health. I think it's a more of a life coach, depending on the person I talk to, because they have different
needs. Yeah. I appreciate that.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly.
Okay. So that's an important part of what you do anyway, is supporting people with cancer individually or in groups or both.
Yes, individually. And I'm beginning to think more of groups, because there's also a fact of socializing in that little group and being able to support each other in a group. Yeah. But I'm also very leery of it because of me being who I am and not wanting to interfere too much with a group of people, because there's something intimate about one-to-one, because you tend to open up more and share your traumas in a different way than when you're sitting with a group. Although I am a teacher, so I am able to do it, but
I find both things have their merits, actually, but so many of the issues that people fundamentally suffer from in life are to do with who they are in relation to everybody else, and whether they feel isolated, whether they feel truly connected. And if you can have a situation where the vulnerability of cancer is shared amongst people, you can really address some of the very deep causes of their distress. I think it's enormously powerful. But as you say, one-to-one also has other merits. So, yeah, I think they're both useful things.
Yeah, it's not like I am not willing to do it. It's just I haven't been doing that. I've had some speeches about it where I talk to groups, but I haven't had in a session like a teaching group session. But sounds interesting.
And with Annie Appleseed, I went over myself earlier this year and as a speaker, which was great. Met all the folks over there. You've been a speaker at their conference, have you?
Yes, I was in 19 and 20, a few years ago, I was there also. I haven't been there the last 2 years.
Right. So you must have met Anne Fonfa then.
Yes. Mm. Wonderful woman.
Yeah.
Really a very busy, wonderful, active, opinionated, beautiful soul.
Yes. Yeah. I never met her, but I did interview her on this show.
Oh,
But she died before I went over there. So, nice lady. Right. Okay. So, as I mentioned, we do give the spiritual, emotional, psychological side of the picture quite a bit of attention on this show, mainly because it's completely and utterly absent from conventional care. But interestingly, mainstream research, I find this really interesting, they've actually provided the tools to scientifically demonstrate the importance of these less tangible aspects of care. We can now measure the genetic impact of things like meditation or time in nature is fantastic. You know, they come from being total woo-woo to being look,
exactly.
Come on, there's the science.
Yes,
and
exactly.
It's a complete spin-off from research which was developed for other things, drugs for treating cancer, you know, with genetic profiles. Anyway, it seems to me that most things that find physical expression that come up as a health issue have some element of the physical as well as some of the non-physical, and that we can actually approach health issues from either direction.
Mm-hmm.
But absolutely the best to me is to do both at the same time. Now, I wonder whether you agree with that.
Well, I think it's really funny because even at the Annie Appleseed, when I was there in 19, I was all interested in the spiritual parts. I wanted to talk about that, but it's not that they said I couldn't, but it was more like, well, maybe just hang on a bit. but all of a sudden now, not all of a sudden, but now that quantum physics have come up, now that, mm-hmm. as you say, it can be measured, and you have, now I'm just going to name drop a few names, like Joe Dispenza is talking about it. He's measuring it. There is Bruce Lipton about your past patterns, how you, even though you change your mind to things, then you go back to your patterns, and how important your belief system is, and what you choose to think about, and that it can be measured. I think even Louise Hayes, woo-woo in the back in the days, it seems like all of the stuff that was small seeds now are blooming up, and it's as if they have to be blooming until people believe it. Before there were seeds, it was like, nah.
All right.
So spiritual nomad, I haven't been talking enough about on this show yet, but just let me say I'm way out there. I'm trying to, let's just say, control my excitement because I don't want to spook people.
Yeah,
basically. So I'm trying to. I'm way out there. I'm a wild child at heart, and I'm even wilder in the spiritual world. So I'm getting strange encounters with stargates, all kinds of stuff. That's a whole other area.
Are you intimating that this is a more important area of exploration for people in terms of their health and well-being than the physical?
I believe that there needs to be a balance, because we're put, as in my spiritual beliefs, I believe we're put here to learn to be a human, but I don't believe we are meant to forget all about our soul and our spirituality. And so I believe we can become more imbalanced in our body if we are not connected in some shape or form. And some people are very connected, and that's fine. That's their journey. And some people are just a little bit connected. But if you're disconnected, I believe that's a problem.
It's a big problem, yeah. I absolutely agree. So, yeah, that I can see for people who are actually disconnected, it would be a primary objective to do something about that, if possible. I don't think it's always possible, mind you. There's too much fear for some people, and you just have to accept that's how it is. But it has terrible consequences. Yeah.
Yeah, and you also have to, not you have to, that you can't pronounce it like that. It's a good idea, if you want to be heard, that you speak to the listening. And just like with children in school, you need to teach them the alphabet before you start reading. And I believe the same thing with the spirituality. If I start out talking about Stargate and all kinds of stuff that I'm in, people are just going to turn their back and say, she had too much alcohol.
All right.
I'm just going to turn around. So that's why when I'm on a podcast or who I'm talking to, it seems like I feel like I'm dosing myself as to who I'm talking to, not to spook them or scare them or have them go, she's really, really, I don't mind. I don't mind being crazy. I don't mind being talked about. But some days I just choose not to show that box.
Mm-hmm. Well, we talk about all sorts of things on this show. We've got a big listenership, so I suppose a lot of people like it. So
I'm ready. I have the box.
Yeah, I can see. All right. Yeah, very interesting. All right, well, look, just to round off, I mean, you referred to your 7 ways for life. Do you want to just give us a brief summary of what you got in that box?
Yeah, my new name for it, I look excited because I am, because I call it the Healing House 7. And it's the ground zero is the starting point. What support do you have? What are you able to do? Are you depressed? Where are you? What platform are you starting from? Number one, as I call it, is the diet. I did alkaline, but some people do Ayurvedic, some ketogenic, whatever you want to do, you need to do what fits you. And then there's the exercise. I think it's important. These are the main ones, but important because of the oxygen to your cells, because of your bone health, because of your getting out, because of, yeah, the obvious reasons, but mostly because of the oxygen to the cells, in my belief. And if you cannot exercise, you can move. You can sit in a chair, move your arms. You can breathe. Then there's I call it the cleanup, because detox seems to scare people a bit, or there's a lot of opinions about that word. So I call it the cleanup. And cleanup meaning clean up your body with either whether you're fasting, whether you're intermittent fasting, whether if you're not able, you can. I did a lot of the infrared sauna. I did dry brushing, massage. I also do it now, but in a lesser dosage. Trampoline, a lot. Well, yes, 1, 2, 3. Then there's the restitution, the sleeping, the resting. So your cell, your little soldier cells can rest and get ready for the next day. And stress I put in there in that number, because if you're really stressed out, you're not going to be able to sleep well. Some people have hard time with the sleeping, and it's important to look at stress also, but that's one of the main ones that everyone talks about also. And then there's this one I like, and that's the passion part. Passion, fun, joy, laughing, whether you're, this is going to sound really childish, but I am that way. Whether you fart or you listen to TikTok or you find something really embarrassing TV program, do something to laugh, to have fun. Find your passion. And I'm not talking about if you're ill in bed at a hospital, of course you cannot run and fly off and blow up balloons, but see what passion you can find, because passion, in my belief, gives you 10 points up. If any of the other points give one, that's going to be, there was one person in the apple seed, she used the word happy cells. I use plus and minus, and she says, you know, happy cells are important. And I believe that the passion, laughing, joy gives millions of happy cells. The emotional and mental part is number 6. That is the emotional part, what thoughts can do, mindfulness from mind to body, what you tell yourself and what you tell others, what you think about others. Imagine having a speaker on your thoughts.
Well, that'd be bad.
Just do that for 5 minutes, and then you can. Right. And then you take the really, because every thought is a prayer. So when you're standing in line at the grocery store and you think that big idiot over there, he's da-da-da-da, you already sent a thought his way, and you might not think he felt it. He might not even understand he felt it, but energy went that way if you listen to the quantum physics. And then the last thing is the balance. You cannot do everything, jump in the ocean and eat the right thing and be the right husband, be the right wife, and be the right colleague. Relax already. Get a balance. Figure out where are you low dosed here and go that way first. Mm. And be happy for those little steps you make. Make a little cheer every time.
So that one you learned from your own life, yeah, clearly. Sounds like you didn't have that one right earlier on, yeah? Am I right?
Which one?
What about the balance?
Oh, the balance. Yeah, I know. That's why I went from being a machine to be a human. I ran 10K without even seeing what I ran past. Now I call it I run aesthetically. Maybe it's a little bit about my age too, but I can stop up now and look at the water. Before, that was a no-go because I told my mind, this is my goal. So that was a short version of a very long one.
Great. All right. Well, look, we're out of time. That was fascinating. Thank you very much indeed, Gina. Do you want to just tell people who might want to follow up with you, find out more about what you do? What's the best way for them to do it?
Well, the best way would just to go into my name, BettinaTamaro.com.
With two M's.
BettinaTamaro. And find me there. And I believe whoever is going to find me is going to find me. And if not, that's meant to be too.
Okay.
Last, I want to end with this. You can be happy in the middle of everything. It's important to know that because life is not when I get over there, I'm happy. It's learning to navigate in the chaos and stay happy in that place. That's a long story.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great. That's a great place to finish on. All right. Thank you very much for coming on today, Bettina.
You're welcome. And thank you for having me, and have a fantastic rest of the day and rest of your life.
Thank you.
You too.
Bye-bye then.
Bye.
I hope you enjoyed meeting Bettina. One of the many perks of this job is that I get to meet some pretty unusual and creative people. As mentioned, look on BettinaTamaro.com to find out more. Lovely to have you join me today. I do hope you can make the time to listen again next week when I'll be back with another guest from the world of integrative oncology for the next edition of the Yes to Life show here on UK Health Radio. Goodbye.